Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Happy Thursday before 4th of July, ladies and gentlemen. 10:04 is the time in about 10 seconds, so technically 10:03. I just like to round up. Welcome into our Friday edition of our Thursday show here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Brayton Wilson filling in for the Instigators one more time this week. As of course, tomorrow we're going to be off for the 4th of July holiday. All of our local programming is going to be taking the day off, having a little bit of an extended weekend. So today is our last round of shows before we head into the 4th of July weekend. Hope everybody has a safe and fun 4th of July. And if you're going to be out and about with a bunch of people, please wear a mask and stay safe, stay healthy, and make good decisions. But again, thanks again, everybody, for listening. Thanks again for tuning in. And we're hoping to have a fun show today. We've got a couple of guests lined up for you. We're going to talk some goaltending, whether you like it or not. And also, there's plenty of action going on in the NHL, as Bob McKenzie tweets out this morning. Some good news is that it's quite possible, if all continues to go well in their talks, the NHL and the NHLPA will finalize and announce that they've reached a tentative deal on the Phase 3 and Phase 4 return-to-play protocols. Also, the new CBA extension was expected to be a six-year extension on the CBA, transition rules, and also critical dates in the upcoming calendar. And also, of course, maybe a possible announcement on the players' participation in the Olympics, in the 2022 Olympics in Beijing, China, and also the 2026 Winter Olympics in Milan, Italy. So lots that's coming up today on the table. Your guest lineup today, we're going to have Chad DeDominicis from Die by the Blade at 10:30. If you were listening yesterday, I did talk about his story about the offseason projections with what, you know, if he was general manager of the Buffalo Sabres, here's what he would do. Really good article. We'll let him get his thoughts on that coming up at 10:30. Then at 11 o'clock, we're going to speak with David Pagnotta from thefourthperiod.com. He has been all over the NHL and the NHLPA CBA talks, and also with Phase 3 and Phase 4. We'll get the latest from him. He's also got an article about what the Sabres should do during the offseason, and kind of gives a layout of what they should maybe look to do going forward. So we'll get his thoughts as well on the Sabres. And of course, we want to hear from you. We want to get your thoughts on the Sabres as well at any point today. If you feel free to give us a call at 716-803-0550. Our toll-free number is also available, 1-888-550-2550. You can also text us on our regular phone line. That's the 716-803-0550 number. Or you can interact with us on Twitter. I'm at BJ Wilson WGR. Corey is at Corey Griswold. And I already gave myself, the WGR station's account is at WGR550. So obviously, the past 2 days, we've been breaking down kind of how the Sabres maybe attack the offseason when it comes to forwards and defensemen. It was Tuesday's show. We aggressively talked about the forwards and got some good phone calls and everything like that on maybe what should happen. Yesterday, some of the similar things with the defensive group, maybe what the Sabres would do with Rasmus Ristolainen and Brandon Montour, maybe who's going to be coming up and having a legitimate shot, and players like Will Borgen and maybe Jacob Bryson. And today, I want to start off the show by looking at the goaltender position, because this is maybe one of the more intriguing positions. It always seems that goaltending with the organization is intriguing because the goaltending hasn't been terrible over the past few years. They've had some ups and downs, but since Ryan Miller, it's been kind of a roller coaster ride. You've had some highs with, you know, guys like Michael Neuwirth, who comes in during the tank years and plays outstanding. You had even a guy like Anders Lindbäck came in and had some flashes of brilliance in net for Buffalo. Then, you know, you had the Robin Leonard saga with his issues and his up and down play in Buffalo. Anders Nilsson comes in and did pretty well as a backup. And since then, you know, Linus Ullmark has developed into a potential full-time starter next year. I think he has easily won the job in Buffalo for next year and at least maybe a couple more years to come until maybe a guy like Luukkonen or Eric Portillo is ready to come in and play at the NHL level. But certainly it is a interesting position when you look at it through the years, just since Ryan Miller, just how many goalies have come through, how many goalies have dressed and played in games for the Buffalo Sabres, and the current status right now of the goaltender situation is you have Linus Ullmark, who, I think is going to be your full-time starter and your number one goalie for the next couple years at the very least, and then you have Carter Hutton, who was originally signed to be that kind of bridge guy and start originally right away, maybe get to a couple seasons as your full-time starter, and then maybe as time goes on, you see him move to the backup role as the younger guys come up. I mean, he's 34 years old. I think that's fair to say that this plan has kind of come together, but I'd say that the plan didn't necessarily come to fruition maybe like Jason Botterill or the Sabres maybe thought, because obviously with a guy like Carter Hutton, he's had flashes of absolute brilliance. At the start of the year, I think he started the year 6-0 and was named the third star of the week in one of the weeks where he had won three games out west and was brilliant for the Sabres and getting them the win. He might have had a shutout or two in that stretch. And then after that, it was something like 11 straight games with a loss or a, you know, no decision. It was just ugly for Carter Hutton. And next thing you know, Linus Ullmark is getting the call almost every night pretty much just because that, hey, you know, Carter Hutton isn't playing so hot right now. Only to find out, though, I mean, obviously, since the lockout shortened season has come to an end, a story was released in the Buffalo News from Lance Lisowski, and it revealed that Carter Hutton was playing with a vision disorder during the season. It came up in about January, and it started to really affect him. And hopefully he's had everything kind of corrected this offseason. But the fact is, still, he was playing with this problem and continuously playing with this problem, and it was almost just like nobody knew about it until this was brought up, and it's kind of like, well, why is he even playing if he's got this issue? Why are the Sabres throwing him out there when he's got problems with seeing the puck and seeing things kind of coming his way, distance issues with the puck? I mean, he finished the year with a 12-14-4 record, so, I mean, it's not as bad as, you know, when he was on that long winless streak of games that he was playing in. So he finishes 12-14-4, 30 games started, 31 games played. He had a 3.18 goals against average, which isn't great, and an 8.98 save percentage. The year before, he had a 3 flat goals against and a 9.08 save percentage, which isn't great either. But his 2 years in Buffalo certainly has not been what has been expected of him. And he was going to come in, and his expectations coming in was, okay, you're going to be that nice bridge goaltender for the young guys coming in. You're going to be reliable. You're going to, you know, at least keep us in contention for quite a while. Because the year before he was signed in Buffalo, he put up a league-best 209 goals against, a league-best 931 save percentage in 26 games started and 32 games played, a 17-7-3 record, which was pretty darn good when he was with the Blues. Then he comes to Buffalo and things really don't pan out well for him in the 2 years that he's been here. So the situation now we're looking at is, okay, Can Carter Hutton get his vision problems corrected? Are they going to be an issue moving forward? And how reliable is he going to be behind Linus Allmark now? The issue with Allmark now that we're looking at is, okay, he's a restricted free agent this year. What's his next contract going to look like? Is he going to get another one-year deal and then he'll go to unrestricted free agency next year as a 27-year-old? Or is it going to be a situation where you give him 2 or 3 years, you give him a little bit more money than he made this past year? This past year, he signed a contract for $1.325 million. How much is he going to cost in net? And how long is his term? Are you going to give him a term where he's pretty much going to be the goalie until either Luukkonen or Portillo come up the ranks, start to back up, and then show that, okay, it's time that, you know, they're ready to play and ready to start full-time for the Sabres, and then he moves on? It's an interesting situation with the goaltending, and obviously I've got a Twitter poll up. Twitter poll up is available on my Twitter account, AbbyJWeslinWGR. Are you comfortable with the Linus Allmark, Carter Hutton tandem in goal going into next season? You can vote yes or no. You can give your thoughts. Tweet us, call us, text us, whatever you want to do. Our numbers to call and text are 803-0550, 716 area code as well. And currently right now, 84% of people say no, they are not comfortable with the tandem going into next season. 16% of people say yes. There was a tweet actually that said 16% of people accidentally clicked yes. But hey, you know, whether it's accidental or not, the overwhelming percentage of the votes right now is no. So obviously, you know, Carter Hutton, he's got one more year left on his deal, $2.75 million. It's not great for a goaltender with the production that he's put up to be paying him that much. But, you know, he's got one more year left on his deal. It's almost like the Rasmus Ristolainen situation. It's just like, okay. I think Chad DeDominis has brought this up a couple weeks ago when he joined Howard and Jeremy. And again, he's going to join us coming up at 10:30 to talk about his latest offseason projections article that he put up at diebytheblade.com, where it's kind of like, okay, he's got two more years left on his contract at $5.4 million versus a guy like Brandon Montour who needs a new contract. And are you going to sign him long-term? Are you going to sign him short-term? If there's a choice between the two of them and which one you want to keep and which one you want to get rid of, which one are you doing? And DeDominis has said, well, we're going to get rid of Montour because we really don't want to give him that long-term deal. And you'd rather deal with that contract or risk the line, and that's two more years left at $5.4 million and seeing kind of where that plays out going forward. And it's almost kind of the same thing with Carter Hutton, where it's like, okay, we've only got one more year left on his deal, $2.75 million. If he's on the team and they want to, you know, keep him on, that's fine at this point. Linus Allmark's going to be the starter. He's going to be the backup. Yeah, you're kind of having a lot of money towards goaltending. I don't know how much Linus Allmark's going to make next year in his next contract. I mean, I personally would probably, and I mean, maybe I'm overshooting this and I'll ask Chad about this, but I'd probably offer him a like 2.5, maybe 2.75 million, same as Carter Hutton, maybe over 3 years. Again, maybe I'm overshooting it a little bit, but I certainly think that, you know, for the value that Carter Hutton has gotten compared to Linus Allmark, I think that Linus Allmark certainly should get a nice little pay raise. Not a significant one, but a nice little one. I mean, Allmark this year, his numbers weren't great, but they've been better. 2.69 goals against average, 9.15 save percentage compared to last year when he was splitting that time with Hutton, a 3.11 goals against and a 9.05. So this year, his numbers actually have gotten better. They're not his career best numbers, but they're still better. And he finished the season with a 17-14-3 record. He was actually .500 in net, which is good. The Sabres actually seem to be winning with Linus Allmark starting in net. And he played 34 games and started in all 34 of those games. So it certainly is one of those things where you look at the situation. Linus Allmark obviously is going to be your number one guy going forward next year. But what to do with Carter Hutton? And, of course, what to do with the contract for Linus Allmark? I think you offer at least 2.5 to 2.75 for Allmark. Give him the same value as Carter Hutton. And then what to do about Hutton? Do you try to add a piece from somewhere else to improve your backup goaltending situation, and then maybe you buy out Carter Hutton? Is there a team out there that might look to trade for Carter Hutton, or you could incorporate in a trade and he's part of the package? I mean, it's interesting to kind of figure out and think about what to do with Carter Hutton, because he's shown, again, he's shown the flashes of brilliance in what he can actually do in net for Buffalo and also in his time in St. Louis and in Nashville. He's been an up-and-down goaltender, but when he's playing well, it's pretty darn good. And when he's not playing well, it's pretty darn bad. It's very rarely do you see an in-between. So the answer to the Carter Hutton question of buying him out, here's what it will cost the Sabres if you're buying Carter Hutton out for his final year. It's pretty simple. The salary cap hit for the Sabres over the next 2 years, if you buy out Carter Hutton, is $916,667 for both years. That's the cap hit. This year, you'd be saving $1.833 million, and the next year, you're losing $916,000 off the salary cap. That's not terrible. It's not a bad buyout if you really want to go that route. Do the Sabres want to continue to buy out people? I'm not sure. I mean, obviously, you've got Ville Leino now off your books, even though I think he was a compliance buyout. But Sabres still have three more years of Cody Hodgson being on the books with a cap hit of $791,000. And then, of course, ownership is paying Christian Ehrhoff for quite a while now. I think he's got, I can't remember for sure, but maybe eight more years on his deal, or eight more years to be paid off with. I think I saw the tweet because Cap Friendly right now is doing me no service. I can't scroll over to see how long this is going. Hold on here. Maybe if I just click on Christian Ehrhoff's name, it'll help. So he was bought out on June 29th, 2014. And here we go. So apparently, he has got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yep, 8 more years. 8 more years of paying Christian Ehrhoff. I mean, mind you, it does not count against the salary cap because it was a compliance buyout. But it's still costing $857,000 per year for the Christian Ehrhoff buyout. I mean, and I think the Carter Hutton buyout seems to make sense. It really does. It's not going to cost you much over a two-year period. And I think there are just better options for you than Carter Hutton. And obviously, if Carter Hutton's here, I hope that his vision problem is corrected. I hope that he's able to, you know, come back from this and be a better goaltender if he's still here. But at the same point, you know, I think there are better options for the Buffalo Sabres in net backing up Linus Ullmark. That's out there. So feel free to vote in our Twitter poll. Are you comfortable with Linus Ullmark and Carter Hutton, that tandem going in goal in the next season? 84% say no, 16% say yes. But you could give your thoughts, call us, text us, tweet us, whatever you want to do. 803-0551, 888-552-550. Let's go, let's get some thoughts here from Twitter. Mark says, I like Ullmark, but not sure it's wise to keep Hutton around much longer. Isaac says, I am with Ullmark. Hutton is 50-50 right now. Bob says, neither are good. Please move on from both of them. Well, you got to have some sort of goaltending somehow, some way. Tim suggests that we bury him in Rochester or you buy him out. Well, I mean, if you want to bury him in Rochester, I mean, that he counts as a veteran, but I just don't think that would be happening. Buying him out, that's certainly a possibility. Trading him is probably better. You just get the cap completely off and see if another team will take him on. 803-0550. We got a few calls here in on the goaltending situation. 803-0551, 888-552-550 are the numbers here if you want to get in. Let's head out to Tonawanda and start off with Tom. Tom, good morning. You're on WGR.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
Good, Tom. Thanks for calling.
Good. As far as whether to keep, you know, with the goaltending situation now, there's nothing horrible with keeping the two as it is now. I mean, you're only locked in for a year with Hutton, so, I mean, there's no urgency in my mind to get rid of him. But with looking at this craziness with the Sabres, I mean, there's more knuckleballs, curveballs, spitballs every time you turn around. And I wonder if with Botterill getting fired so So suddenly, when everybody thought, well, he's going to get the benefit of the doubt, I wonder if the Pegula saw that Hutton had this vision problem. Maybe Bottrell didn't tell him about that. Maybe they felt like they – I mean, if they had won one more game, they'd be in the playoffs. If they had won two or three more games, they're in contention for the top 16. So Hutton, his vision problem probably in large part cost him the playoffs. I wonder if that was just the final straw with Pegula's that tipped the balance against him and said, you know, get lost. You didn't tell us about this. We need somebody else. That's just my thoughts.
Okay. Thanks, Tom. Appreciate the phone call. I'm fine with keeping both of them if that's the case, and I'm fine with maybe finding a better option. I think Linus Allmark is going to be your starter. I think that he has proven over the years that he's capable of starting. I think his numbers have to be better for sure, but I think he can carry the load, and he certainly showed it when he was down in Rochester with the Amherst for three straight years. He can carry the load. He can start a ton of games. I just think that his numbers have to be better, and I personally think that his numbers have progressively been good to start. Maybe dips a little bit as the season goes on, but if he could show that he could consistently keep those numbers good, I think he'll be just fine. As for the possibility of maybe Bottrell not knowing the vision problems, I would highly doubt that's the case, just because I think that you have to kind of know what's going on with your goaltending and the health of your goaltenders. And when I said 11, it was actually 12 winless games in a row for Carter Hutton. He started the year 6-0, and then went 0-8-4 with a 4.04 goals against and an .872 save percentage. That just isn't going to get it done. And in the article that that he talked about with Lance Lasowski, he pretty much said, you know, therapy became a daily thing for me. But obviously that the vision impairment for him didn't, you know, it wasn't a huge factor in why he was struggling. But we'll see. We'll see what the decision is going forward with Carter Hutton. Let's go to Tom in Cheektowaga. Tom, good morning. You're on WGR.
Hey, guys, good morning.
Morning.
A goaltender with sick that can't see. I'm a youth hockey coach, and Bantam Year, our goaltender, he was really good up close. But all this long stuff's going on. I kept telling his parents something's wrong. Well, he wasn't wearing his contacts.
Oh.
You know?
Yeah, that's a problem.
Anyways, it is hard to play goal on a team that if they score two goals against you, you're probably going to lose.
Right, yeah. You
know, and I just don't get how he had the eye problem. The other fella had the sobriety problem, and I don't know. But anyways, my question, the Tuck, Vegas Knights have that Tuck. I can't think of his first name.
Alex Tuck.
Oh, it is Alex.
Yep.
I thought that was his brother.
No, his brother is Luke. Luke's actually going to be eligible for the draft this year.
Gotcha. For your opinion and that guy at 10:30, what would the chances be of trying to get him? It seemed like he fell from grace with them. He's a big kid. He can score and maybe ship a D out that way.
I mean, certainly Alex Tuck is an interesting name. Thanks for the call, Tom. If his name is available and the Sabres are able to trade for him and get him at a decent price, I'd absolutely make the trade. He's a very big body on the wing. He's not afraid to get to the net. He's strong. He's physical in front of the net. And he's got some good offensive skill. I mean, I've heard some wild rumors people wanting to trade a first-round pick for him and trade this and that for him. And I don't think he's going to cost a first-round pick. I don't think that it would be outrageous to have to trade so much to get Alex Tuck. But if Alex Tuck is available from Vegas and the Sabres can get him at a decent rate, by all means, I'd be more than happy to. And I'll be sure to ask Chad about Alex Tuck and maybe the possibility of adding him going forward. So thanks for the call there, Tom, and I'll be sure to try and pass along that question. Let's squeeze in one more phone call here before the break. Let's go to Kevin in South Buffalo. Kevin, good morning. You're on WGR.
Morning, guys.
Morning.
As a Sabres fan, I'm as old as the team, right? So, you know, Ted Darling was my voice, you know, before I was going to bed as a kid. So I'm a stats guy. I like, you know, analysis. But if we take a look at the Sabres goaltending lineage, you know, and starting off with year one, you know, Desjardins, Crozier, right? Take them all the way up to the Stanley Cup years. Then you got Don Edwards and Bob Sauve, right? Tandem goaltending, Vezina Trophy winners, right, in the 70s, take us into the 80s, right? Then you got Tom Barrasso, drafted out of high school with Phil Housley, right? Kluche, Pope Pupa backing him up. Then we go into the 90s. We're talking about Larchuk, Walkalup, Draper, right? Fuhr. We get Grant Fuhr from Edmonton. Then Hasek comes over. Hasek rewrites the style of goaltending for the league, right? Then you got, what, Trefeloff, Shields. We're moving into the 90s now, right? Marty, you know, this or that, Biron, right, comes in. Then we have Miller and Enroth, right? These guys could hold their own, right? But then you take a look at the last 7 years. We've trotted out about 60 different goalies, you know, and there hasn't been a tandem team or just one standout reliable goaltender. I mean, Ullmark has been our best shot. Was 25 years old, played great in Rochester. Hutton, I have never seen a destruction or a meltdown. Like 6-0, third star of the week that we, you know, and in 12 straight losses. Like,
yeah,
that's unacceptable.
Yeah,
you can't keep this around. We've been trying to solve goal scoring for the last 10 years, 12 years. What about the goaltending? You know, and it's a shame. It's just almost embarrassing that throughout the years, the Sabres have had outstanding goaltending. And then the last 8 years, you know, the league took a look at the Sabres goaltending.
Mm-hmm.
Who else are you going to name?
Yeah.
Besides Enroth, you know, or Rob Miller leaving, you know, it's just, this team is, you know, the needs that this team have right now. I mean, you have a couple of great standout, draft picks that need to be developed a little bit more, but holy crap, man, this team needs something else. So I just wanted to comment on the lineage for the Sabres goaltending. I love this team. I'm never going to abandon them, but you tell me, well, how frustrating is it just when you sit there and look at this team, performing in your own needs assessment on this team, you know, taking a look at.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
How come the organization higher up just doesn't take the time to even just take a look at, you know, historical performance and how this team was managed?
Kevin, sorry, I got to cut you off here because we got to get to a break because Chad DeDominicis is coming on next. But I mean, you threw a lot at me there with obviously the history of the goaltending and then how kind of things have been historically bad lately. I mean, yeah, certainly things have got to get better. The way that everything's kind of been put together with this team lately has been unacceptable with the way that this team has been built. And it is something that Kevin Adams is going to have to figure out and is going to have to fix really fast, is the composure of this team, the complexion of the team, and just how everything's kind of built from top to bottom. And it was, you know, it didn't look so bad under, you know, Tim Murray. And then, you know, kind of things fell apart. Nothing was getting done. There was inaction. He gets fired. Then Jason Botterill comes in and it started to not look bad there. Then all of a sudden the Ryan O'Reilly trade happens and a couple other things and other inactions that took place. And nothing's really progressed with how the complexion of the team and the goaltending situation or anything has really looked. So Kevin Adams, it's one thing he's going to have to figure out real fast in order to get this team turned around. And then, you know, I don't know what's going to happen, but we'll see. All right, I got to take a break. John and Elma, if you don't mind hanging on, we'll get to you once we get done with Chad. I'd like to get your phone call in, so hang on there if you can. And we'll get more phone calls later on in today's show. 803-0551, 888-550-2550. Chad DeDominicis is coming on next here. I'm Brayton Wilson, filling in for the Instigators this week. Corey Griswold producing on the board. This is WGR. All right, 10:35 is the time here on WGR. Brayton Wilson filling in for the Instigators all week here. Thanks again, everybody, for tuning in. Again, just for a programming reminder, tomorrow there will be no local programming as we observe the 4th of July holiday. Hope everybody has a safe and happy holiday weekend. And again, everything will be back on the Instigators and One Bills Live included starting Monday right here on WGR. Let's head out to the Western Hotline. I've waited long enough to get this guy on. He, you can find him on Twitter at CMDDominicis, and he's also a contributor for both Die by the Blade and Expected Buffalo. Joining me right now is Chad DeDominicis here on WGR. Chad, I know we've talked recently, but thanks again for taking the time on this Thursday, and hope you and your family are doing well.
Yeah, we're doing good. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. So obviously, Chad, before we dive into your article at Die by the Blade with your 2.0 version of your offseason projections, I want to just get your thoughts on the outcome, obviously, for the Sabres in the draft lottery. They'll be picking eighth, but just want to get your overall thoughts on what you think about the whole lottery system and whether you think that, you know, I know that this year's was a little bit of a different circumstance, and obviously the worst-case scenario happened with one of the teams yet to be determined winning the pick, the first overall pick, and Alexis Lafreniere. But just want your thoughts on the future of the draft lottery and whether you think that it's good for the NHL or you think it's just kind of gimmicky and it should just really just go back to the way it used to be, where if you finish dead last, you get the first overall pick.
Yeah, you know, it's I get behind it. You know, it kind of gets fans interested in it, right? And if you can get eyeballs on something you can put on TV, that's always a good thing, you know, for the ad revenue and stuff like that. So I get one of the reasons why they do it, and you kind of, in a way, it avoids tanking, if you will. I mean, you know, look at Detroit. I mean, they won, like, what, 18, 19 games, and they're going to pick fourth. I mean, it happened to Colorado twice, and they had horrible seasons. They fell away to fourth. So I get the premise behind it, but, you know, I think, honestly, I mean, especially this might be an awakening call, kind of what happened here this year. You just go back. If you want to do a lottery, fine, but just make it for the first overall pick. Go back to that and then have it in a situation where the teams outside of the top, like, I don't know, 10 if you want. Like, if you don't win the top 10, then you can't move up anymore in the four spots, kind of the way it used to be the old way, right?
Yeah.
And then they kind of in a way, everybody wins type thing. So, I don't know. We'll see what they do, but you know, I think when they put this together, they probably sat in the room and thought, come on, there's no way that a team in the, you know, whatever turn to play is going to win this thing. And then it turns out worst case scenario, and now it looks pretty bad for them.
So obviously the Sabres, they'll be picking eighth overall. They move down from 7 to 8. It'll be the fourth time they pick from franchise history with the eighth overall pick. So, Chad, looking at the draft board, obviously this year the top 10, top 11 players are pretty darn stacked. They're good players, players that could be NHL ready within a year or two and maybe even three, depending on, you know, kind of the development path that a player decides to take. But if you're the Sabres with that eighth overall pick, in your article, I know who you take in your article, and you can explain a little bit, but who are you taking? Who's maybe somebody that you're looking at with that eighth pick? And personally, if you're the Sabres, do you look to hold on to that and make that selection, or are you looking to trade it?
Yeah, I think for me, I'm in a spot where I'm at this point, I'm looking to keep it. That doesn't mean I'm not open to a trade for it, but I think it has to be kind of a home run trade, right? You can't get desperate and just make a trade to make a trade because, you know, you really want to send that back, because I think at the end of the day, that's not really going to help you. This is a draft where I think the forwards at the top are the best forward groups in the top 10 that, you know, there may be been in a couple of years. Looking ahead to next season, the forward group doesn't look that great as it does this year. That could change, but that's the reality of where we are right now, right? So, and when you add that all in, and then when you add into it, I wrote about last week, is, you know, getting a player on an entry-level contract, especially when we just found out the cap is going to stay flat for the next 2 years, and then only go up another million in 2 years after that. So really your cap is pretty much flat for at least the next 3 years. You know, you need that kind of player to come in an entry-level contract and make an impact on your team with the way the salary cap is going to be, and how it's going to be tight for them. So with that goes into it. And then when you also just look at the kind of the fact here, there's really maybe one or two players like Anthony Cirelli that realistically could be available, but that's even probably a long shot. There's really not even centers that are kind of worth spending that eighth overall pick on. You could talk me into spending my 2021 first-round pick in a lottery-protected situation. I could do that, but as a top 10 pick, just I don't know if that center is really going to be out there for them. So when you add that all up, you know, I'm more in the favor of hanging on to that pick and getting the forward they desperately need, especially out of this class.
Right. And obviously in your article with your offseason projections, you have them holding on and you're taking Anton Lundell out of Finland, a really good two-way centerman. Just want to get your thoughts on what you've seen from him and maybe give us your little scouting report here of what you've seen.
Yeah, you know, he's kind of a guy that, as you look at some of the, you know, draft rankings that are coming out, he's sliding a little bit. So it's interesting to me because I think he's kind of the players coming out of Finland, you know, they usually, in most cases, take a little bit longer to kind of develop. And we saw that last year with Kako, you know, going to the Rangers. He had a pretty bad season when a lot of people thought he was going to be really good as a rookie. So you kind of take that into effect. But he's the type of player who I think, first of all, I think he's more one of the NHL-ready players because of the style game that he plays, right? He's an 18-year-old that had a really good season in Liga against other professionals, against men. He was productive for an 18-year-old, pretty impressive. And then his two-way game is impressive, too. You know, he's good at both ends of the ice. He was top 10 in possession in that league as an 18-year-old. I mean, that's impressive to have that type of thing at his age and in the league that he plays in. And, you know, a lot of people say he doesn't have that offensive upside in his game, and I don't see that. And I look at his production, and I look at what he did. I don't know how people get there. I think it's kind of that, you know, that knock on him that he's a, you know, a European two-way player, and that means he's not going to give you that much offense, where I don't know if that's the case. Like, I kind of see maybe, if you want, kind of in the mold of a Ryan O'Reilly or Sean Couturier. You know, I don't think he's going to be a 70 to an, you know, 80-point player, but I think he can be a 60-point player that can also play a two-way game for you. And if you can bring him in, and, you know, for all the people that want an impact right now, I think he's a guy that in a normal season could step in. Now, next year might be different with the way the European leagues are starting, you know, in like October and September when the NHL won't start until January. So that probably won't work and he'll go back to Europe. But, you know, he's a guy that you could bring in right away and expect an impact. And I think that that's important for him to be looking for, you know, and it's not just him. Like, you know, if Marco Rossi is there, or if, you know, Lucas Raymond are there, those are the two other guys that I would really consider those spots as kind of my top three.
Yep.
But, you know, where I am now too, is as someone who follows the Sabres, you know, it's just pick any forward, honestly. Like, I'm not going to be mad. If it's a forward, fine. I'm not that picky, but those are kind of my three guys.
Right. Yeah, and obviously with a guy like Lundell, the program that he's playing with in Finland is actually a pretty good program where they've had some good talent come through there and develop into pretty darn good players at the NHL level. Anyway, continuing on with your article that's at diebytheblade.com, moving on to the restricted free agents and how the Sabres kind of approach that. You obviously, in your article, you have a number of your key restricted free agents being re-signed. You give them the average annual value for each player. But I'm really interested, obviously, in Sam Reinhart. And obviously, with the way that he has produced over the past couple of years with his new contract, he's up for a new deal. And this year, we could be seeing him getting a long-term contract that he's been looking for. And you have him currently right now at 5 years, $6.9 million. How do you value Sam Reinhart going into this contract negotiations with him?
Yeah, I still think, you know, he's underrated among, you know, a segment of the fan base, right? His game isn't very flashy. I think a lot of the things that he does, you can kind of miss it, you know, and a lot of people talk about, you know, him playing away from Eichel and the production and all that thing, but it's not often talked about kind of what he does for Eichel on the other end of things. You know, Eichel's going to be fine whether Reinhart's there or not. Like, let's put that out there. But still, he helps them defensively. I think Reinhart also is a big part of the transition game to get Eichel started. You know, Reinhart plays a lot of those exits in the offensive zone, and then he gets it up to Eichel. Eichel goes up the ice. You know, so if you go back and watch some games, what I did when I wrote about Reinhart recently, and I pulled out a couple of video clips, you see that a lot. He'll do that work along the board, make that nice pass up to Eichel quick, and boom, Eichel's going up the ice. Where you might not catch that in the game because the goal is scored four or five passes later, but when you go back and look, it started from the play that he made. So he makes a lot of those quick, smart decisions along the boards that aren't flashy. You know, he scores a lot of his goals around the net, which is nice. So he's not a flashy player, and I think that kind of, you know, is a knock against him, I guess you could say, but he's still does what he's supposed to do. He's a 60 to 65 on a good season point player, 24 years old. You know, they're in no position to get rid of a forward that gives you that much right now. So there's, I just can't think of any way where you move him and your team is better. It just, it doesn't make sense. You're moving a forward for another forward. We're great, but now you need to go out and get more forwards, and like then it becomes a whole mess for you. So unless it's some sort of one for one and you get a really nice young center back for him, just I have no interest in trading him, and just give him the contract around $7 million that he's realistically worth, because that's how much a 60-point player costs in this league, and you know, try to build more players around him.
Chad DeDeminis is from Die by the Blade and Expected Buffalo, joining us here on the Wester Hotline on WGR. Chad, obviously with the trades that you mocked in your projections, I really like these trades because I think the players that you're targeting to bring into the roster add some really good value to the roster going forward, obviously with Alex Kerfoot from the Toronto Maple Leafs in your mock, and also with Elias Lindholm from Calgary. Just what do those guys bring to the table for the Sabres if they decide, I mean, if they were to happen to trade for these guys, what would they bring to the table for the Sabres going forward?
So Lindholm is interesting because he's in one of the reasons I targeted him, because I thought he would be a good guy to fit with Dylan Cousins, which kind of I tweeted you about yesterday when you were talking about it. So the reason that is because he's not a play-driving winger, but if you look at some of his underlying stuff, he is an extremely, extremely good impact on goal scoring. Maybe one of the better forwards in the league. So you get Cousins, who's going to run that transition game, and then you give him a goal-scoring winger like Lindholm, that's awesome. And then the other thing to consider here is Lindholm has an experience of playing center. So if there's any time Cousins is struggling, or if there's a face-off, or if he's having a rough game, and you kind of want to switch responsibilities, you can throw Lindholm over the center, throw Cousins on the wing. It kind of gives you that flexibility within your lineup. So not only all of that, you're going to be picking up a, you know, 60, 70-point winger at only 25, 26 years old. He has a good contract, $4.8 million for the next 4 years. So it makes a lot of sense. And then, you know, I threw Ristolainen out there with the guy going the other way, because Calgary's going to lose a couple defensemen to free agency here, and they really need some help on the right side. Thinking about it now, a couple people have told me about it. You remember the Brian Burke story, and that AGM is still there who said, no, you're crazy to trade for Ristolainen, so maybe that theoretically would have worked, but maybe you can flip and throw Brandon Montour in that situation, and then you can do it that way. So it's, you know, you can make it work, but, you know, Lindholm is a player the Sabres themselves under Botto have had their eye on for a while, and I think he would be a really nice grab for them. And then Kerfoot, you know, he's not that flashy, big 50 to 60-point center that you're kind of maybe looking for. And the reason I went with Kerfoot is because something I talked about a lot is if I get Lundell and I have Cousins, well, then all I really need to find is what I call a bridge center, right? I need a center to give me 1 to 2 years that can bridge me to Cousins and then bridge me to Lundell if I have him. So I think Kerfoot could do that. He can play with Skinner when Skinner's had the ability to succeed with centers that are of Kerfoot's ability, kind of that quote-unquote grinder. You know, we saw that with Johan Larson last year, how Skinner succeeded with him in the limited time they had together. So if you do that, and then Kerfoot can give you some defensive responsibilities for the next year or two, and then he can kind of drop down your lineup as those other two centermen kind of grow with your team. So that was my thought in going to grab him. And then it allows me, also what I did is to not use my 2021 first-round pick. I can kind of keep that in my pocket if I want to use that next season or some other time down the road for another trade that comes available too.
Couple minutes here with Chad DeDeminis from Die by the Blade and Expected Buffalo here in the Western Hotline. How do you think the Sabres are going to approach free agency this year? Because obviously the history with free agency has not looked great for the Sabres. I think their highest scorer in the past several years is Kyle Okposo, and even then the numbers haven't been impressive. So how do you think the Sabres attack free agency this offseason, knowing what's kind of going on with the salary cap and everything else that's kind of in their back pocket, and even with the salary cap space that they're going to have?
Yeah, I think you shouldn't expect them to go big game hunting by any means, right? So I don't think Taylor Hall or Tyler Toffoli are going to be any options, not only for the salary cap aspect, but also this is an organization right now that has taken a beating the last few months. So this is not looked at to be real a place that a lot of players are going to want to come play at, especially those big marquee players. And if you are going to get those big marquee players to come to your team, you're going to have to overpay them, and they're really not in the cap position to do that with the way the cap is going to be for the next 2 to 3 years. So I think what they're going to want to do is they're going to want to look at some low-key guys. You know, Jesper Foss is somebody I signed in mind. He's a guy I've been kind of hammering on for a while. And, you know, people look at his production, and it's not that much there, but it's beyond that for him. It's what he can do. He can play up and down your lineup. He can give you some some secondary scoring. He played with Artemi Panarin almost the entire season with the Rangers, and if you hear Panarin talk about Foss and how impactful he's been on him, you know, that's something you got to take into account, what, you know, what he does defensively and what he does in other areas of the game and his board work and how that could affect and impact other players on the team. And then another guy who I kind of been looking around, Dylan DeMello was a right shot defenseman I'm really interested in. Again, kind of an under-the-radar guy. If you're going to move Montour and Ristolainen, you want to bring on a right shot defenseman, Dylan DeMello could make some sense for you. And the guy I signed, John Merrill, you know, he's 28 years old, left shot defenseman. His defensive impacts are really impressive over the last 2 years for Vegas. So he's a guy you can bring in for a year, maybe two, to kind of let Jacob Bryson and Matthias Danielson and Ryan Johnson and the guys you have on the left side coming, you kind of give them more time to develop instead of kind of rushing them into things, which they have done in the past. So I think you can bring Will Borgen in. He can be your 6-7 defenseman, and then you get a guy on the left side since Pilot's gone, and, you know, that kind of allows the guys underneath that on the left side to kind of continue to develop and not rush them in.
Well, Chad, I appreciate you taking the time on this Thursday to join me here on the air, and hopefully you enjoy your 4th of July weekend. Stay healthy, stay safe, and we'll talk again soon.
All right, thanks, man. You too.
Yeah, absolutely. Chad DeDominis is from Die by the Blade and Expected Buffalo on the West Hur Hotline. We'll take a break. We'll squeeze in a phone call when we get back from the break, and then, of course, David Pagnotta from the fourthperiod.com will join us at 11 o'clock on WGR.
Reinhardt also is a big part of the transition game to get Eichel started. You know, Reinhardt plays a lot of those exits in the offensive zone, and then he gets it up to Eichel. Eichel goes up the ice. You know, so if you go back and watch some games, what I did when I wrote about Reinhardt recently, and I pulled out a couple of video clips, you see that a lot. He'll do that work along the boards, make that nice pass up to Eichel quick, and boom, Eichel's going up the ice. Where you might not catch that in the game because a goal is scored 4 or 5 passes later, but when you go back and look, it started from the play that he made.
Chad DeDominis is from Expected Buffalo and Die by the Blade. We just had a nice conversation with him here on WGR. My thanks again to Chad, who took the time out of his Thursday to come join us here on WGR. Brayton Wilson here, filling in for the Instigators one last time this week. Obviously, we're off tomorrow for the 4th of July holiday, and we'll be back on Monday with the Instigators and One Bills Live back to their regular programming here on WGR. Let's head out and take a phone call here real quick before we head to break for the top of the hour. Let's go to John in Elma. John, you're on WGR. Good morning.
Yeah, hi, Brayden. To me, it's pretty simple. We really, as much as I like Kyle.
Uh-oh, John. I think the connection's going bad.
Okay, he's like a $2 million player that's making 6.5. And in order for them to succeed, they need to sign Wayne Simmonds. 100% sign Wayne Simmonds. If they don't sign Wayne Simmonds, they're in big trouble. But they also need to sign 2 or 3 other guys similar to his game style. And I'll just give you an example. Can you tell me who the best line in the National Hockey League history was ever?
I mean, there's plenty of really good lines in NHL history, but what do you think?
Wayne Gretzky, Yari Curry, and a guy by the name of Dave Semenko. Okay? And all Dave Semenko did is free up ice for the two best players in hockey. He didn't have to fight anybody. He didn't have to do anything. All he did was free up ice for these guys. And I keep hearing the morning guys say, oh, it's a different game. It's a different game. Yes, it's a different game, but the principles remain the same. If you give your elite players confidence and the ability to skate in the open ice without fear of getting hammered, they will succeed.
Yeah, but you got to have players that are able to keep up with those top-notch players too, and back then it was a different game. In today's game, if you're expecting Wayne Simmonds to keep up with guys like Jack Eichel and Sam Reinhart, good luck. I just don't see Wayne Simmonds having that same speed and tenacity as he did in his Flyer days. And I mean, if they keep Wayne Simmonds, I'm more than fine with that, but it's got to be at a cheap deal. I'm not giving Wayne Simmonds more than $2 million a year to be on this hockey team at age 31, 32 years old.
There's also no indication that Jack Eichel or Sam Reinhart are scared of skating
right
on the ice.
Right. There's absolutely no indication of that. Yeah, sure. Maybe you can open things up by adding a guy, maybe like a Tom Wilson type of guy. Like if there's a player out there you can find that's similar to Tom Wilson who's able to do that, then that's fine. But guess what Tom Wilson does with Alex Ovechkin and Evgeny Kuznetsov? He skates with them. He keeps up with them. He is able to contribute offensively just as much as he's able to contribute with his physical play and his play in the defensive zone. There's not a lot of players like Tom Wilson out there.
Right. The player that the caller's describing is Sam Reinhart when he's on his game.
Yeah.
Because he goes against the walls, wins the battles there, and frees up the puck for Eichel.
Yep.
Like, this is the player you're describing. We have him. He's Sam Reinhart.
Yeah. Well, John, I do appreciate the call. And the other point that you wanted to bring up was trying to trade Kyle Loposo. I just don't see what team in this league is going to want to trade for Kyle Loposo. He's got 3 more years left on his contract at $6 million per year. He's got a bad history of concussions and other injuries that he's had to deal with, especially during his time here in Buffalo. And, you know, I don't know if there's another team that's willing to take a risk like that. And obviously, I think Oposo brings some nice qualities to the room. He can provide some offense if he's put with the right personnel. He can, you know, be a great leader in the locker room. And I think he is an important player on this team. I just worry about his health, and I just worry about what else is going on. And if he could rekindle his game, that's great. But at the age that he's at 32 right now, I don't know how much longer he's got. And if he could stay healthy consistently. All right, we're late for the break. I got David Pagnotta from thefourthperiod.com coming up next. He's joining me to talk about the latest, what's going on with CBA talks around the NHL. Also, he's got an article up at thefourthperiod.com about the Sabres and what they need to do to get back to playoff contention going forward. We'll ask him about that as well. Brayton Wilson here filling in for the Instigators this week. Corey Griswold producing. Thanks for listening in. Thanks for interacting with us here on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.